Genesis chapter 28, we have the story of Jacob as he's fleeing from Esau, his brother. You remember he tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright, and then he tricked him out of his blessing. Now to get away from his brother and to save his life, because his brother's so angry that he's ready to kill him, he's traveling to his uncle Laban's house. While he's there, he stops at night to sleep. Can you see him in our text here? The only thing he can find to put for pillows are stones. He hasn't had those, pillows that guy's selling? My Pillows? Yeah, I guess they have Generation 2 now, right? I mean, those are great. I love Mike Lindell. And we got one of those My Pillows, and we sent it back. Maybe they improved them, but it didn't work for me. And he didn't have My Pillow yet. And so he had stones for a pillow. And as he falls asleep, as he dreams of a ladder reaching from the earth to heaven, as he sees the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder, can he hear as the Lord calls out to him as he sleeps? Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it into thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So the Lord calls to him in his sleep, and he hears this. And now Jacob's preponderance upon awaking, he says this, verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. He had this voice that God was talking to him, giving him this great, incredible promise. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, I didn't realize that God was here when I went to sleep, and I wouldn't have realized it when I woke up. But God spoke to me, and now I understand. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. A lot of Christians today are just like Jacob. They're asleep in the presence of God. God is busy in our lives, and God is doing things in our lives, and God is doing things in spite of our human nature, and we don't even realize it. We're asleep in the presence of the Lord. We're going places, like Jacob was going somewhere. He was going from one place to another. He was doing a transition in his life, actually, as he went to see Laban. But we're unaware of what God is doing in our lives and all around us. I'm afraid that tonight many Christians are functional. He was very functional. But we are ignorant of God. Let's examine this thought tonight. Don't miss what you have. Don't miss what you have. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. What if Jacob had gone for the rest of his life and been ignorant of the presence of God in his life and the moving of God in his life and God's plan and God's will for his life? He would have missed out on so much. Don't miss what you have. Let me give you several thoughts. First of all, don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Isn't it incredible that God would even want to walk with us? Why would God want to walk with us? Every time he walks with us, we slow him down. Why would God want to walk with us? Every time he walks with us, we cause trouble. And God wants to walk with man, and God wants to walk with you. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. You know, as you think back to, look at Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. And God creates them, and God puts them in the garden. And they experience the fellowship of God. And every day, God came to walk with them in the cool of the day. And they enjoyed his companionship, and they enjoyed the things that they spoke about together. They experienced fellowship. They enjoyed the companionship of God. How wonderful it is to feel the presence of God. You know, I'm enjoying going through the scripture with this Bible reading calendar. And this morning I was going through some of the Gospels and before church. And what a tremendous encouragement it is that you read your Bible and God speaks to your heart. And you say, wow, God's speaking to my heart. I was reading a little bit farther in the Bible this week. As a matter of fact, I was reading in the book of Revelation, and God spoke to my heart, and I wrote that sermon out that I preached this morning. And, you know, you're reading in the Bible, and God's speaking to your heart, and you're like, wow, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want that. And God speaks to your heart and says, you can have that. And then you read a little farther, don't lose your crown. You can have your crown taken away. I don't want that to happen to me. And God says, okay, it doesn't have to happen to you. And here's the things that support that. But we get to walk with God. We sing that little song. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. How you doing, Brother Craig, back there? It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. And God walks with me, and he talks with me, and we talk with God. What a privilege it is to meet God in the morning. To meet God in the morning before the day gets busy. To meet God in the morning before everybody plugs in, right? And they do. They plug in, and all day long, you're kind of like a battery that gets drained farther and farther down. And just the loads get put on, and the lights start dimming, right? But in the morning, you got to plug into God. Meet God in the morning and walk with God. And God can walk with you, and God can speak to you. And what a privilege it is to walk with God. What happens sometimes is sin separates our fellowship. Genesis chapter 3. And verse number 8, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why? Because of sin. Don't miss what you have when you're with your walk with God. And if sin comes into our life, it breaks that fellowship that we have with God. It breaks the communion that we have with God. It breaks the conversation that we can have with God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. And so sometimes we're missing our walk with God because we're too interested in walking with sin in our life. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Adam and Eve lost what they had. Adam and Eve knew it not. Here they were, enjoying however much enjoyment they got out of that fruit. I don't know how much that could have been. And they missed their walk with God. They got something, but what they got in return wasn't worth it. They knew it not. Hey, if you take this fruit, not only did Satan lie to you about this, but you're going to have no fellowship with God. And God wants to reestablish that fellowship with you, but you're going to miss out. And so God comes walking and looking for them. Think about the far-reaching consequences of that one decision, of not paying attention to what God said, not obeying what God said, not knowing that God is wanting to walk with you. We've felt those consequences. Every mother here in childbirth has known the consequences that God pronounced on Adam and Eve. Every drop of sweat that you've ever given is a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve not realizing and not paying attention up to their walk with God and their obedience to God. The far-reaching consequences are felt as we stand by a hospital bed and say goodbye to our loved ones. As we weep a furrowed brow and a fevered brow, and they're felt as we bury our loved ones. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Look at chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. Cain was given the opportunity to bring a sacrifice, as his brother Abel was. A sacrifice of the flock and the herd. And he disobeyed. He brought the fruit of the ground. And God said, Cain, you brought the sacrifice that you wanted to bring, the best of the fruit, the best that you have. But I don't want you to bring the best that you have. I want you to bring a sacrifice of a lamb, the best that I have. God gave Cain a second chance. And what did he do? He missed it. Chapter 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. What did he do? He killed his brother. He did not take the opportunity that God gave him, a second chance. Cain, an offering. Sin lieth at the door. There's a sin offering crouching at the door of your tent. Just open the door. Not only do I require the sacrifice, I give you the sacrifice that I require. And he wouldn't do it. And you never hear from Cain again. Look at Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach and to see a revival come to the city of Nineveh. Instead, Jonah tried to do something that nobody can do. He tried to get away from the presence of God. You can't get away from the presence of God. You know, the most miserable person in the world is not a lost person. It's a saved person who's out of the fellowship of God. You can't get out of the presence of God. He's going to keep coming after you. Thank God for a seeking Savior. He came to Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam, where art thou? When Adam wasn't seeking God, God was seeking Adam. Thank God for that. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Twice in that verse, he's trying to get away from God. He knew God was speaking to him, and he said, I've got to get away from God. If I get far enough away, maybe God won't speak to me. Well, that was foolish, wasn't it? Look at chapter 1, verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah, don't miss what you have. It may cost those mariners everything they have. Jonah, don't miss what you have. It may cost you going down into the bottom of the sea and being swallowed by a great fish. Jonah, it may cost you 3 days and three nights. Jonah, it may cost you a great price. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. You know, I thank God that Enoch didn't miss it. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5, verse 24. Every day, Enoch got the chance to walk with God. You know, it's a choice that we make. We choose to walk with God, or we choose to walk with everybody else. We can walk with our friends. We can walk with our family. We can walk with our neighbors. We can walk with the people at work. We can walk with the people on all the alphabet channels. Or we can walk with God. Now, I think we can walk with some of those people that are walking with God at the same time. But if you have to choose one over the other, choose to walk with God. Walk with God first. And so Enoch didn't miss it. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5, verse 24. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. He didn't miss it. Enoch, what are you going to do? I'm going to do what I've been doing. I'm going to walk with God. And he pleased God, and he became a favorite of God's, a man of faith. And the Bible says God took him to heaven. Can you imagine Enoch there in heaven? He got to go early. And he's one of few people, right? Enoch, Elijah, was translated that he should not see death. Probably, I don't know how this works, right? Can you imagine how does this work? They have a human body? I don't know. They didn't leave their body here. That's kind of limiting, isn't it? Like, there's somebody bumped into the wall again. Oh, that's old Enoch. He can't go through the walls like the rest of us. I don't know if that's how it works, right? But just think about it. But he walked with God. Maybe he shouldn't have walked with God so much. I would have got here later. But don't do that. How about Elisha? He walked with Elijah. He walked with God. He was close with God. He got a double portion of the spirit of Elijah upon him. The sons of the prophets stood to view far off. And Elisha said, I'm not going to miss what God's going to do with Elijah. I'm not going to miss what God wants to do with me. You can stand afar off and you can go look for Elijah up on the mountain somewhere. But I'm going to be close and I'm going to know what happened. I want a front row seat. Don't miss it. How is your walk with God? Don't miss your walk with God. Your walk with God is essential. Your walk with God is urgent. Your walk with God is important. Boy, in this day and age, we need to walk with God more than ever. We need to walk with God. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to agree with God and walk with God. When God's path and human reasoning are divergent paths, we need to take God's path. We can all make improvements in this area. It is a privilege to walk with God. Don't wake up one day and be like Jacob. Surely the Lord was in this place. And I knew it not. Walk with God today. Don't miss what you have. in your walk with God. Secondly, don't miss what you have in your church. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is what purchased the church, every local church has been purchased. Every Bible local church has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight for Gospel Baptist Church. I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to go through life. Look, sometimes I've gone through life busy. Sometimes I've gone through life really tired. Sometimes I've gone through life overwhelmed and exhausted and frustrated and heartbroken. But I'm not going to miss what God has given me in Gospel Baptist Church. I thank God I was Baptist born. I was Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Look, I'm glad I'm an American. Okay, I'm not picking at anybody else, but I'm proud to be an American. That doesn't diminish any other country, but there's nowhere else I'd rather live. When I'm a Baptist, I'm not diminishing any of that. This biography we read tonight was a guy who was a Methodist, wasn't he? He was a Methodist. You wouldn't want to be a Methodist today. Okay, they got lots of problems. But I thank God I'm a Baptist. And, you know, if a rooster can't crow in his own barnyard, you ought to pluck his tail feathers and make chicken and dumplings out of them. Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. Well, if I was baptized by a Episcopalian, I'd be a Episcopalian. If I was baptized by a Presbyterian, I'd be a Presbyterian. Jesus was baptized by a Baptist. That makes him a Baptist, doesn't it? If I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed. Amen. Now, this is not my church, but it's our church. Now, I have the privilege and I have the responsibility, according to God, for what goes on here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Don't miss what you have in your church. Because can I tell you something? It doesn't happen everywhere in the world. There aren't churches on every street corner. You know, there probably used to be. You know, downtown here in Manchester, there used to be Merrimack Street Baptist Church. There used to be right here. Right. If you look out that door, that building wasn't there. There's another building right there, 10 feet outside that door. It was called People's Baptist Tabernacle. This belonged to People's Baptist Tabernacle. It was their annex building. They had a 1,000 seat auditorium right there. Then there was a third Baptist church. I forget the name of it. I believe there's a third one right here on the first block of Elm Street, right downtown Manchester, back 100 years ago. Three Baptist churches preaching the gospel. There's another one right here, First Baptist Church, preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, baptizing converts, teaching. I went to Brother Wheeler's house one day, and he used to go to Merrimack Street Baptist Church. Remember that lawyer's office is next to where the old police station was? It was right there. And on his wall, Brother Wheeler came to church here until he was about 100. He died at 103. I went into his house one day, and he had this picture on the wall. It was about this big, and it had about 100 men in that picture, and they were all in black suits and white shirts and black ties, because it was a black and white picture, right? And he said, do you know what that is? He said, that is the GGE club that we had at our church, Merrimack Street Baptist Church. And I said, GGE, what does it stand for? He said, it stands for Give God Everything. He said, we had 100 men in that group at any given time, and they were dedicated to give God everything. Boy, that's a great club. Wow, what a place to belong. But you know, that church is gone today. That church is gone today. Well, the congregation's gone. I don't know. And a bunch of people came down from Canada, right? And they worked in these mills. And they started evangelizing everybody else with their religion. And you got steeples over here. You got steeples over here. You got steeples over here. You got all kinds of false religions. And we've been assimilated. It just doesn't happen everywhere. So don't miss what you have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The Bible here teaches, it's talking here about a pastor, the Bible here teaches that we ought to understand that the pastor is here to watch for our souls. The pastor is here to give us warnings from God, from His Word. When he sees something happening that's not right, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And when something is right, to encourage it to keep going the right way. And the Bible says here that the pastor must give account. You know, the only person that I find in the Bible that we read this morning, right? We must all give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one may appear. The only one who has to appear and give an account twice is a pastor. Pastor has to give an account, not for themselves, right? Has to give an account for the church. That's a big responsibility. You have to stand before God once for yourself. I have to stand before God twice. Once for myself and once for His church. It's purchased with His blood. That's not a light thing. That's not a little thing. Can I say this? Thank you for making it joyful. More often than not, right? Not all the time. Sometimes it's not that way. But more often than not, I'm not complaining. There's nothing that I would rather do in this world than be your pastor. I don't want to miss what I have. Don't miss what you have in your church. You know, there are many churches across the country that have the name written over the door, Ichabod Baptist Church. That was Eli's grandson. He was born when his mother was dying. And she named him Ichabod because the ark was taken. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel. That was his name, Ichabod. A lot of churches are named Ichabod Baptist Church. The glory is departed. The glory has been gone for a long time. I don't want to just mark time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. It's talking here about church. And Paul is dealing with a problem in the church in Corinth. They had a lot of problems. But this particular problem was the misuse of the gift of tongues. And so they were misusing it. And boy, this would be a good chapter for today, wouldn't it? And he told them something along with that. In verse number 24, so he's talking about when people come to church. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of how many? All, he is judged of all. That's everybody in the church. This is a participatory church. We are all participating in the service. That's what I was kidding around earlier. But men say amen. Amen. Hey, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart something, hey, Jesus Christ is perfect. Amen. Hey, ladies, you can nod your head up and down. Okay. And so we understand that we are participating in church. I'm glad I'm a part of an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-preaching, shingle-pulling, barnstorming, devil-hating, sin-fighting, Christ-exalting, Holy Ghost-filled, praying, soul-winning, blood-bought Baptist church. Church is not a spectator sport. Be a part of what's going on. I'm glad I get to be a part. Everybody can have a part. Isn't that exciting? Guy came this week, worked. He's only been coming for a few weeks. He asked us. He said, hey, what can I do around here? I'm like, man, what do you want to do? I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. You can't take the nursery. Okay, I'm not taking the nursery either. So, but there's a lot of things you can do. Listen, churches are changing so fast, you can see them. You can see them. Guy I used to go soul winning with in college, he has this church in California. It's called Country Church. And you remember Brian? He was like the most rigid, fundamental. I mean, he wouldn't even wear anything but a white shirt. I mean, he was just like, wow, wingtip shoes, right? I mean, he was just like, he was out there. He was out there a little bit too far. And now he's a wacko. And he's got all kinds of, listen, here's something that just happened February 8th through the 10th, all right? Is this on live stream? Okay, I'll just say their first name. Pastor Kerry and Pastor Kurt, all right? Two friends of mine that I went to college with, okay? They have this thing called the Church Advance, and they have this other guy. I don't know him, so I'll say his name, H.B. Charles from Jacksonville, and Brian Sams, who's the host pastor. They had a Church Advance, and Pastor Brian taught this. This is right on their website, okay? The Translation Transition. Okay, two of my friends are here hosting with this conference, preaching in this conference. The Translation Transition. Brian discusses the practical steps he took with his church as they made the transition from King James Version only to modern translations of the Bible. Watch this episode at youtube.com/churchadvance. Register for Church Advance 2023 at briansams.command, blah, 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 blah. Hey, that's not an advance. That's a retreat. That's not an advance. That's a surrender. And churches are changing. So we look at it and go, well, you know, I can just, you know, take it or leave it. And sometimes we take it, sometimes we leave it. And listen, we don't understand the presence of the Lord. If two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst. Listen, if people are getting saved, that's pretty special. If saved people are following the Lord in baptism, that's pretty special. If saved people are growing after they and being taught all things, if you have an opportunity to teach a class and to participate in a bus route, listen, that is not happening in every street corner in America. Here is a fantastic quote. Listen, America is in trouble tonight. If you want to save America, get America saved. Lester Roloff, 1977. Baptist preacher down in Texas, People's Baptist Church, Corpus Christi. If you want to save America, get America saved. We're going to talk about social issues, but you know where they come from? They come from the heart. Out of the heart are the issues. If you can't change the heart, then you can put all kinds of outside, you know, whatever on you can put all kinds of dressing on something. But if you don't get to the heart of the matter, nothing's going to matter. We've got to see people saved. We've got to give out the gospel. We've got to tell people how they can go to heaven. We have to tell them, look, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants to save your soul and give you a home in heaven forever. Would you trust him as your savior? If you want to save America, get America saved. Let's give out the gospel this week. That's what it's about. We've got all kinds of things happening in churches today. We've got divorced men pastoring churches. We've got women pastoring churches. Look, I love women. My mother is a woman. My wife is a woman. My daughter is a woman. But my pastor shouldn't be a woman. We've got this purpose-driven church junk from, what's that guy's name in California? Rick Warren in California. He has warped more churches and wrecked more churches than anybody alive on the planet besides the devil. The purpose-driven church. And I'll say more about that as we go through social issues. Probably I've got about this many books, and one day I'll just dig into them when I got nothing better to do. I'm not the best preacher. I am not a theologian. I am not an intellect. But I'll tell you something else I am not. I am not a chameleon, and I am not for sale. Can I tell you, parents, this? You want the assurance that your children will grow up with the same. Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. As long as I'm here, you're going to get the same that you've been getting for the past 31 years. Gospel Baptist Church will never change. As long as I'm here. Don't miss what you have. Don't miss what you have. Let me say this, the third thing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 11. Don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Don't miss what you have in your church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Don't miss what you have in the man of God. The man of God is God's gift to a church. The Bible says here that God gave pastors to the church. I'm smart enough to know that I'm vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. I reiterate this point. Don't miss what you have in the man of God for two reasons. Number one, it's part of the whole counsel of the Word of God, and it needs to be preached. Number two, I am not immortal nor invincible, but let me make a case for my successor. The man of God is a lightning rod for the devil. Listen, you want to do something for God? You have an enemy. You have a foe. You have an adversary, the Bible says, the devil. The devil hates your guts. Everything you do for God, every step that you take in a forward direction, God hates. Guess what? You decide to have a godly marriage, you really put yourself on the radar. You're a parent. You're raising kids. You're trying to raise kids in an ungodly world. You have a bullseye right on your head. You take on a ministry. God supports you, but the devil hates your guts. The more you advance for God, the more the devil is going to fight you. And don't miss it. Your pastor has a bullseye on his head and on his back. The devil's after him. A lightning rod for the devil. The Bible says this: smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. The man of God is a bullseye for the devil. Every prayer is appreciated and every prayer is important. I have a man who tells me once a month probably. And he used to tell me, but he's getting old and he forgets now. Pastor, I prayed for you this week. I've been praying for you. And I appreciate that. And I tell him every time he says, I said, thank you. I need every prayer I can get. The nation of Israel in the Bible neglected the Levites, the man of God. When they did, the Levite had to go to work in the field to feed his family. When they did, the house of God was forsaken. And when the house of God was forsaken, a nation plunged into idolatry. You read about it in your Bible. Don't miss what you have in the man of God. Number four, don't miss what you have in prayer. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, don't miss what you have in your walk with God. Don't miss what you have in your church. Don't miss what you have in the man of God. Don't miss what you have in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't miss what you have in prayer. A.J. Gordon said this: you can do more than prayer after you have prayed, but you can never do more than prayer until you have prayed. Don't miss what you have in prayer. Every time you pray, you come boldly into the throne of grace. And you can talk to God anywhere you are, anytime. I woke up around 1 o'clock this morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I prayed for the message this morning. I didn't pray for the one tonight, but I did pray for the one this morning. God, please. I have all these things, and I'm just laying there praying. And I prayed for quite a while. But, you know, every time we do that, God says, hey, shh, shh. Hey, my child's praying to me. Hey, oh, that's awesome. I love hearing you pray. I love meeting your needs. I love being a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Don't miss what you have in prayer. So oftentimes we neglect it. I have a wife, and we have two beautiful children because of prayer. Because of prayer. God answered those prayers. I can remember many of you prayed for our children. And many of you prayed when we had court cases and crazy situations with our children being adopted. I can remember one time I walked out my door. I think Brother Jackson, you were there, and some of the men of our church were there a long time ago. And they were praying for us. And God answered that prayer. Prayer made the sun stand still. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 10. For one whole day, the sun stood still. Prayer caused Peter to get out of jail. Prayer caused Samuel to be born. Prayer opened the prison for Paul and Silas after an earthquake. The great revivalist here in the Northeast, Charles G. Finney, spent a minimum of 3 hours a day thanking God in prayer. We do pretty good at asking God for stuff, right? You don't have to teach me how to do that. I can ask him for a lot of stuff. But he spent a minimum of 3 hours a day thanking God for things. Wow, is it a wonder his name is a household word? Charles G. Finney. Number five, lastly, don't forget, don't miss what you have in your family. Look, if you would, at Amos chapter 3, kind of an obscure scripture. Amos chapter number 3. And Amos was looking at the condition of the children of Israel, and he likened it to a flock being attacked by a wolf. Amos chapter 3, verse number 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed in Damascus, in a couch. Two legs or a piece of an ear. So shall the children of Israel be. You know, sometimes we look around and we think, boy, it is a tough time. Are we going to get out of this you know, with two legs and a piece of an ear, and that's all that's going to be left of my family and of my friends, and how devastating it is. You know, Noah had it worse. We talked about Noah last week. God looked down and he only saw one family that was righteous and one family that was living for God, and that was Noah and his family. And there's plenty of families that are living for God. There are a lot of families all over the country and all over the world that are excited about living for God. But may I say this? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, as we don't want to miss what we have, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen, you've got a spouse, you've got a wife, you've got a husband. Love them. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You know, sometimes we wait until they're gone and then we appreciate what they were. And we should appreciate them now. Love your wife now, husbands. Wives, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, so for equal time, we'll read that verse too. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now here's I was talking to a man, he's a husband. And I said, listen, let me teach you something about that verse right there, okay? And I said, when you decide, you're supposed to love your wife, even as, right? So here's the principle. When you decide you need a new shotgun to go hunting, right? And they cost, I don't know, $1,200, right? It's a good one. And then you need to make sure you have $2,400 because your wife needs to go buy her shotgun so she can go hunting with you. Now, so she can buy whatever she wants, right? You buy your shotgun, then give her the $1,200 and she can buy, hey, go buy whatever you want. They usually don't have a problem finding out how to spend that, right? But even as, that's a good principle, isn't it? So I want to buy a new whatever it is. It costs, how much is it going to cost? $500. No, it doesn't. It costs you $1,000. Because even as, right? So then you just say, here, this is for you, even as. Okay, that was a good, so I got the ladies back there, okay? Now that the ladies are back, look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular still love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see, that's another principle right there, even as himself, right? You love yourself. You're going to do something good for yourself. Love your wife the same as you do for yourself. See that the wife, that she reverence her husband. Wives, reverence your husband. And I think my pastor used to say this. He said, people talk about, husbands talk about, you know, see, Sarah reverenced Abraham, but he wasn't laying on the couch with his belly sticking out of a T-shirt, scratching his stomach and burping or something like that, he used to say. And be reverenceable. How about that? Be reverenceable, okay? Number next under that. Dad, be the leader that you were meant to be. Oh, we need leadership in our homes today. We need leadership from our fathers today. We live in a vacuum. Turn to Titus chapter 2. You know, everybody talks about all these different reasons for crime and all these different reasons for these statistics that they give. You know, a lot of it lies squarely on the dads not raising their children and not telling their children what's right and what's wrong. They're absentee fathers. Dad, be the leader that you were meant to be. Titus chapter 2, mom, verse number 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. These are instructions to a mother. Moms, you've got an incredible job. Incredible job. The Bible gives you instructions right here. Don't miss what you have in your home. Don't miss what you have with your family, husbands. Don't miss what you have. You've got a wife that for some reason you asked her to marry you. We can't figure out why, but she said yes. We can't figure that out why either. But love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Wives, love your husbands. Reverence your husband. Dad, be the leader you were meant to be. Mom, follow these instructions for your home. Don't miss what you have in your family. You know, I like what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. All of Israel was gathered together. It was about the end of his life. And he said to all Israel, you know, you have to decide today, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. And he finished with this statement, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you know, y'all can do what you want. There's, I don't know where they come from. You can do what you want. You can do whatever. They can do what they want. I'm going to tell you what Joshua's going to do. And I'm going to tell you what Mrs. Joshua's going to do. And little Joshua and little Joshuette. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't miss what you have in your family. Let's pray.